Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
And he stopped me and he said, "Whose voice is telling you those things?"
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Brandi Wilson.
And I had to have some self-reflection of whose voice is that I hear in my head. And he challenged me to replace the voice that I was hearing of my ex-husband and all the things that I didn't think I could do or didn't believe in myself or that I was worthy of, and to replace it with the voice of God. Because, you know, our brain is very, very smart, and it's very capable of running the same message over unless we intentionally decide to change that. So we can change those neural pathways in our brain if we're intentional to do it. So, being able to lean on God and remember who I was and how He had uniquely created me and the abundant life that He was providing brought me a lot of hope when those negative thoughts would creep in.
More from Brandi at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
Now, The Rest of the Story. In our nation's beginnings, the states were anything but united. Under the wishy-washy so-called Articles of Confederation, states behaved as independent countries. Some of them taxed visitors, others cranked out worthless currency, and by the fall of 1786, the mounting chaos had become apparent to everybody. The proposed remedy was a new form of government, sharply defined by a constitution. And such a document was produced in the summer of 1787. Of course, that's history. But this is the rest of the story. Delegates were elected to convene in Philadelphia. Day one of the Constitutional Convention was scheduled for May 14. Practically nobody showed up. It would take almost 2 weeks to accumulate enough delegates to decide on anything. And few of those gathered were optimistic. Of the 55 who did come to Philadelphia, there were never more than 46 meeting together at the same time, and rarely more than 30. Over the months which followed, there was considerable conflict. The Bill of Rights, for example, was a real hassle. In fact, the early drafts of two constitutions had no Bill of Rights. Tom Jefferson was in Paris when he learned of the oversight. He was furious. He expressed his outrage to James Madison by mail. And there were other sore spots, such as the concepts of a strong presidency and the proposed ratio of one representative for every 40,000 citizens. Edmund Randolph argued that was too few congressmen and would result in a dangerous concentration of power at the federal level. Elbridge Gerry became so upset that he once made 7 speeches in a single day, declaring reason after reason after reason why he would not approve the Constitution in its current form. At one point, Luther Martin of Maryland just got up and walked out. He said, "I'll be hanged if ever the people of Maryland agree to it." To which a colleague replied that the people of Maryland were likely to hang Martin anyway. But anyway, it was a long, hot summer that produced the Constitution of the United States. The delegates convened in May, and they were still shouting at one another in mid-September. Everybody had what he thought was the right formula, the Virginia Plan, the New Jersey Plan, the Great Compromise, and somehow, ultimately, somehow, in agony and ecstasy, freedom was born. In the same school classrooms, once bedecked by presidents' portraits, pupils have since become enamored of an implicit and plausible myth that our founding fathers were cheerfully united by a common purpose. Well, there is value in remembering that such is a lie. For indeed, 55 delegates arrived in Philadelphia for our Constitutional Convention, and yet that number reflects only 3/4 of the delegates elected by the states. A full quarter of the elected delegates never showed up at all. Another quarter left the convention early for various reasons. That means only about half of the delegates actually stuck it out and signed their names to our Constitution. The rest succumbed to apathy or aggravation or sheer stubbornness. In fact, Rhode Island, which refused to participate in the convention altogether, and North Carolina were still not part of the Union when years later our government began operating as the United States of America. For in the early years of our ism, the greatest threat to independence was independence. Perhaps posterity should heed that sometimes the first enemy of freedom is freedom. That is the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. If you'd like to call in, the call-in number is 805-238-5775. You can also send text messages, 805-238-5775. I have Debbie Peterson of Grover Beach on the show. She used to be a mayor there. She's quite the activist now. Author podcast, talks a lot about government, a lot about the corruption in the county and what needs to be done. And there has been a lot of weird stuff in the last 2 weeks. It's been a major
wild
news week.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go over the issue. So San Luis Obispo used to be, I'd say 20 years ago, 30 years ago, the best run city in this county. It was known for having a great city council, great police department, just wonderful. And then you had the influences of Adam Hill. You had game playing with the airport land use. You had Jan Marks doing favors for the Copeland brothers, and they did some things against Delidio. The Copeland brothers ended up getting an $80,000 fine from the FPPC. That's the largest fine I have ever seen. They said it was a grassroots group trying to stop Delidio's from developing his land. There's only going to be like 40 houses and a few stores. And Marks led the charge. We can't do development there. We can't have it. I'm part of this grassroots thing. In the end, they found out they were all lying. It wasn't good. For a while, Marks lost an election, but then she got back on the city council. And guess what? She moved into Gary Grossman's. Suddenly, the neighborhood, she said there should be no small buildings. She pushed the airport land use change, and then they all supported Gary putting hundreds and hundreds of units. And this thing is just, it's 10 times what Delidio wanted to do that she thought was too much. She moved into the neighborhood. There's been a lot of complaints about the construction defects. People have, because the mold is so bad, people have trouble with their eyes. One woman has permanent damage because of mold in her home. Another man got an infection in his face from the mold. There's been one lawsuit that was paid out already. There's other lawsuits going on against the builders and the developers. It's pretty well a mess over there. And one of the arguments was, you know, the city is so busy, they weren't doing the proper inspections. But then there was a man named Michael Lowe, and he was a chief building official in the city of SLO after this neighborhood was pretty well, most of it was done. He was hired, and he didn't like what the city was doing. He thought the city was not acting correctly. He finally got in such an argument with the city that he quit. He wrote to the city council how bad all the things they were doing. He allegations they had failed to properly inspect projects. They weren't meeting safety targets. They weren't properly reporting surplus funds. And in the end, he claimed that they retaliated against him. And guess what? He filed a claim against the city. But he was already living in that neighborhood, not far from Jan Marks.
And the two of the people we know who have sued.
Yes. So he's in this neighborhood. And one of the things they did with this neighborhood, and the people that moved there know it, there's almost no parking. You know, you'll have a whole street. It'll have seven on-street parking places. Sometimes there's one on-street for every two homes. There's a very big issue with the amount of parking. Real thin driveways. There's just not a lot of room to put your cars. So there's a little bit of there's already parking issues. Then they put in that the commercial area, and they put in a bunch of restaurants, and there's not enough parking for the people at the restaurants. So they want to come over and park in front of people's homes. So you have a parking issue, and Michael Lowe and his wife live in that neighborhood. And he had claimed that they were retaliating against him. So you have a city that says we don't have enough people to do inspections. But Jan Marks files a complaint on February 27th. And she has gone over there and measured. And she gave inaccurate numbers and said, where that white Silverado truck is parked in front of the Lowe's home, that should be... They shouldn't be allowing parking because it's near a fire hydrant and a crosswalk. But it's supposed to be a certain amount of feet, and it actually followed the rules. The way where they were parking was outside that zone. And then she said, and because I think it's hard to get around that corner, I just want you to make that the next day on February 28th, I want you to make that whole curb up to his driveway red. In lickety split, a day and a half later, they painted that curb to where she wanted it red and took away his parking place. Well, first of all, the measurements that she'd given were inaccurate.
Good thing she's not a CPA if she can't do numbers.
She is an attorney.
Yeah, good thing, maybe.
And he immediately started complaining. And a record request shows there were 90 pages of emails going back and forth all about this silly red curb on a city where the staff says, we don't have time to look. We've got too much work, but you got to do this red curb. And then they went and they took not the complete amount. They made it 1 foot too long, which meant they went back and they took most of the red out that they had added, except for a foot. Which that foot meant he couldn't park his truck there.
Oh, my.
And then he said, I'm going to appeal your decision to add an extra foot to the state law. Well, then the New Times did a story last week, and the next day they came out and gave him that foot of sidewalk back. Red curb.
My gosh. Oh, wow.
Does this appear to be retaliation? What do you think?
I always say to people, if it doesn't pass the smell test, it's certainly a red flag that should be investigated. And I think just based on history, yes. What's interesting is that this gentleman who came and made these complaints came after most of the work was done for the Grossman project. The man, one of the people handling that Grossman project, has now moved to Grover Beach, where we now have almost all of the 55 to 66 foot buildings are Grossman projects, and we have the same planner. So that's a little worrying for us in Grover. Take heed.
That would be kind of concerning. And Grossman's doing a bunch of projects in Grover. Most of these big projects are Grossman. Am I correct?
All but two, and then there was one affordable project, but it was less than 33 feet, so it wasn't one of the major ones.
And I'm just surprised that the staff would go and paint a curb red when a councilwoman asked them to.
Yeah. I'm thinking, it sounds like good old boys Mississippi. It doesn't sound like how we used to perceive San Luis Obispo.
I will tell you, though, they're having trouble measuring, and I'll give you another example. They did work to, for those that go to slow, there's a road called Napomo. Napomo goes by the Children's Museum. Then it goes through, it's not far from where Marsh and Hygera intersect, that where they both run into one. And Napomo is the last street that you can go down if you want to skip past Farmer's Market. So if you're trying not to, they close the city streets, and that's the way you can get out of there. And past that, it's kind of tough because Dana doesn't go all the way through. So they were going to redo that road, and they dug it down to dirt, and they were going to redo it. And they got it poured and done and realized they put it at the wrong height.
Oh, no. It sounds like Grover Street's originally.
They had to redo it. Oh. And they had already had this closed for a massive amount of time. And if you could you imagine being in the Children's Museum? People have to walk, do all, it's
and
hard to get to.
And other businesses there as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And they, a friend of mine manages the Children's Museum.
Oh, my.
And she was just completely frustrated. And then there were people were so frustrated because you couldn't get through. And then they poured it. And some guy, this was, you couldn't have made this stuff up. Some, because you get frustrated. You're trying to get around Farmer's Market. And you realize you've got to go back and get on the freeway.
Oh.
It took me almost 30 minutes one day when I tried to get to Napomo and it was closed. So about right after they re-poured again, while it was still wet, some guy got frustrated and went through it and got stuck in the asphalt.
Oh, they should have kept him there. It's a work of art.
He was drunk. He was drunk. But he got, you know, he got stuck in the asphalt. It was just like, this is just, you can't win.
Yeah, yeah. I used to find that in Grover Beach, that and they're having a problem now on South 9th Street and North 9th Street, where they've closed off a street without letting any of the vendors know, right around Grand Avenue. And I think what cities forget is that the businesses are their bread and butter. That sales tax that they collect, that they keep adding and adding and adding to, that sales tax and the really high property taxes that commercial outlets pay, those are the bulk of the city's general fund. And yet they're out there making decisions that harm their very livelihoods.
Yes, yes. And it's, that was kind of what the paid parking problem was. The residents or the business owners, the majority of them were saying, we're not bringing in the revenue because there's not, the paid parking, people don't like it. I don't like it.
No, I won't. I don't go to San Luis Obispo anymore. I don't go to Pismo anymore because I'm not willing to pay for parking to spend money in other outlets.
I'm the same. I don't like it at all. But I do find it, when they do something like that and they're thinking, oh, we're going to make all this money on tickets and get a couple new police officers, it doesn't make sense. The numbers don't pencil
never,
out.
Never. It's always far more expensive to put in the restrictions and manage them.
It absolutely is. I'm looking at the gas with the, they had a person out at the airport here that was managing the airport. And this person was very good at attracting things like the English Air Force and the military to come buy their gas from him, and gas sales were huge. So they decided to bring someone in from Bakersfield and to get someone new to manage it. John Hammond and Sharon Roden really pushed it. We need this. And in the end, most of that big revenue, I think, is gone. I'm doing some records requests on that. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add?
Hi. Good conversation about Jan Marks in where she happens to be living right now. It's she was so opposed to this to begin with, and now all this time later, here she's living there. She should be the very first one to step up and defend one of her neighbors. That would be a good neighbor. she's showing what the, she's not a very good neighbor, number one. And absolutely, I can think of just one occasion right after the other, whether or not staff has committed acts of retaliation if someone speaks up against them. It's been going on for quite some time. And this isn't only in San Luis Obispo. We have a problem with staff, as you folks know, across the map here. They're generally the culprit behind the bad things that have taken place. When all the dust settles, almost always it's staff behind all of this.
Interesting comment, because one of the things that we hear when we're circulating petitions in Grover Beach is, I'll vote in favor of this, but I can't sign it because I'm afraid of retaliation. I can't afford to do that. Many people are too frightened. And those are legitimate fears. I can personally vouch for that.
Absolutely. And Gary Grossman, this is a man who has an awful lot of power. The Copeland brothers, a serious amount of power there. And Sandy Copeland, a big friend of Jan Marks, and they're very connected. So I don't call this coincidence that a former mayor, current city council member, is living in a spot that she was clearly involved in a pay-to-play to begin with. And it takes an awful lot of nerve after she got caught originally and all that to actually live there.
I have
Why
to say
did
that
she sell her house on Albert Drive?
The word that comes to mind for me is hypocrisy, because she opposed it and then, oh, she changed her mind, which is okay to change your mind. But the other thing is, of course, the home that she took, although she paid market value for it, had been set aside for affordable housing.
Very sad.
Thank you for calling in. We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and be back with more with Debbie Peterson.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz, and this is the Fox Report. Advertising as investment reports in Iran escalate on investors. And inflation concern. At around $96 a barrel, while Brent crude, the international benchmark, is close to $105. Tech was the worst performer as software stocks weighed on the sector on AI spending worries, while industrials and consumer staples gained. The Magnificent Seven big cap tech stocks were mostly lower, led by Tesla and Microsoft. The Dow winners, Caterpillar, Travelers, and Johnson & Johnson. The Dow decliners, IBM, Microsoft, and American Express. The Dow lower by 180 points, the Nasdaq down 219, S&P 500 down 29. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
My name is...
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Marilyn from Templeton says, quote, Solarponics installed our system almost 20 years ago. There are occasions when your system needs to be serviced. With Solarponics, work is completed quickly with knowledge and skill. This is as important a part of a solar company as the original installation. Thank you, Marilyn, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing a lifetime of as important service. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners. Is your water heater over 7 years old? If so, replace it with a heat pump water heater before it fails and save thousands in energy costs. Plus, new rebates cover up to 80% of the cost. Call or click to get a free, no-hassle quote today. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley. You're host on Wednesday and Thursday. Today I have Debbie Peterson in the studio. And welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Debbie today?
Good afternoon. This is Brenda Auer calling, and I just wanted to call and say thank you, Debbie, for all the information you provide. It's really a time for a change in Grover Beach, considering that the people have spoke, as you said, and there's no reason that people have to go and knock on doors and get petitions signed. We've requested from the council to consider changes over and over again. So I'm thinking maybe it might be time for a new council that'll actually listen to the community and stand up to the city manager. I have lots more to say on that. But again, I want to thank you for all your time you're putting in.
Thank you, Brenda. And I think that you have absolutely nailed it. That's what's going on. Because the question is, why in a little town that small is there such an incredible percentage of ballot measures, and why are they all succeeding? So despite the roadblocks that the city is throwing up on them.
Thank you again for all you're doing. And on one more note, we really have a budget that needs to be examined, and we need a city manager that will listen to the people on that. Thank you again.
Thanks. Don't you think, Brenda, that he can't afford to listen to the people because he needs to keep doing these huge projects to generate more and more and more cash because he's making such a huge chunk of the actual general fund in salary and benefits?
Debbie, you hit that on the head. He's actually building a resume off of Grover Beach and, you know, being the first to do everything instead of looking at what it's affecting, how it's affecting our city and our community.
And what the community wants. Yeah. Thank you, Brenda. I appreciate your input.
Thank you again. Goodbye.
And you can call in if you have any questions or just want to make a comment. 805-238-5775. 805-238-5775. Let's talk about this other story that came out regarding elections. So Slo County Supervisor Jimmy Paulding's dark money supporters exposed. How this whole thing started was that there appeared to be a group called the South County Coalition, and they had spent about $10,174 to support Paulding's reelection. And it was odd the way it was organized. Their rules, election rules are very strict, very, very strict. And there was questions over who was donating. So it was spending money, but it didn't have any donors. And it didn't make sense. So Adam Verdin and Jimmy Paulding are in a race for South County Supervisor, District 4. And the reason this is important, it will change. This will change control. Whoever wins this race, it changes control of the Board of Supervisors. If Jimmy is out and Verdin is in, it will now be a conservative Board of Supervisor. This is a this isn't just about South County. This is about the whole county. Many votes will change if this race changes. So for those that are saying, why are we talking about this in North County, this is a very important thing. So right now, you had this group, people putting huge money in. So Jimmy Paulding was someone who pushed limiting donations to 5,500. They tried to do that when Lynn Compton was on the board. And Lynn Compton said, unless we add in PACs, political action committees, people that want to cheat will just open a PAC and do it. And I'm not going to do it. And they voted against it. So you had Debbie, Lynn, and John say, no, we're not going to limit. We're going to have a $25,000 limit like we had before. We're not going to limit it at this time. Right after Jimmy got elected, the first thing he wanted to do was put a limit on donations so people with a lot of money couldn't control who gets into office. He was very strong on this and didn't like it. But the weird thing is, the people putting him in office give big money donations through PACs. So this PAC starts, South County Coalition, and it's oddly done as a type of PAC, but we'll get into that another day. But it's got a treasurer. Her name is Dorothy Hines. She's a Napomo woman who served as Jimmy Paulding's treasurer in his 2022 campaign committee. So she's tied to Jimmy. She works with Jimmy. And then she's filing the reports, but she's not putting any donations in. She's filing the reports, and it's pretty clear all the money's going toward Jimmy. And then after Adam Verdin complains, why is there dark money? Why haven't they said who put the money in? On April 13th, now remember, for those that don't know, 90 days before an election, you have to report any donation over $1,000 within 24 hours. So this thing was created on March 26th, was when South County Coalition was created. But on March 24th, 2 days earlier, Ray Mattson donated $18,000 to the group. And the next day, on March 25th, Don Ernst donated $22,002.
And they're former partners, isn't that right?
They're former law partners. And Don Ernst is probably one of the people that is most involved in elections in this county. He was the guy behind Adam Hill. He has been one of the biggest donors in the county for decades. And they didn't properly report when they gave the money to this group. It wasn't done by the group at the right time. And after that complaint on April 13th, so we're talking more than a month later, they report these massive donations. And again, remember, Jimmy Paulding was the guy that said, I don't want any donations over the 5,500 limit. That limit has now been raised to 5,900 as kind of a bump with the cost of living. But it started off as 5,500. What do you think about this whole thing?
It sounds a lot like what John Schulz did to me when he was running against me as mayor. He got in a lot of money at the last minute, which he didn't report. And it wasn't PAC political action committee money, but the FPPC did fine him at the time about $1,100. And so hopefully the FPPC is going to go after this one, because now we're talking about not one little town, but we're talking about lawyers, attorneys who ought to know what they're doing. We're talking about a seasoned treasurer who surely knows what she's doing. So you have to ask the question, what are they trying to hide and why?
And they have been controversial in the past. There was a dust up years ago. So there was an opioid crisis, everybody knows. Some of the companies had to pay huge billions of dollars, and a lot of the money went to counties. And in most counties, the county either didn't, there was an attorney involved in this class action case, but if the counties wanted to have someone from their group looking at it too, it was generally the DA's office because the money stayed in county government and going for the county. But in this case, Rita Neal, who used to work for Don Ernst and was county counsel, put it on a consent agenda that we need him to run this. It could have been $4 to $10 million into Don Ernst's pocket with, you know, we have to have the, for something that wasn't needed. When it came out that it wasn't needed, Supervisor Lynn Compton was irritated and wanted to look at Rita Neal's contract. And Lynn told me that she was later threatened by Don Ernst. You try to get rid of her. She's very close to me. You try to get her out of office, and I will make sure you lose the next election. Well, that was the one. Then he started throwing money at the Jimmy Paulding campaign.
Oh, wow. So that sounds almost like a conflict of interest, where you've got a former employee or a former partner funneling work to you.
Yes. Yes, but the bigger issue here is they did not put out till April, I think it was around April, what was it? No, they didn't put out until March. What was the date when they actually said they did this? About 3 days ago, they admitted these donations.
Oh, my gosh.
And April 21st.
A month late. Yeah, almost.
Almost a month late. And they admitted it came from Don Ernst, gave again $22,002. Mattson, his former partner, gave $18,000. And another retired attorney, Carla Haney of Napomo, gave $5,000. They did it right on her, though. She donated it on April 20th. And they reported it on April 21st. But they added the two other donations on the report with hers.
Hmm.
And that is way past the time.
Yeah. And normally you do each one independently. You don't lump them together because you get them on different dates usually.
And on April 13, they filed a Form 496. You're required to show all donations that came in before that on the Form 496. They didn't report those donations from March. Well, on that document, when they were required to report it then. Now they say, oh, we made an error. We're going to clean this up. Come on, you have this. Three attorneys are involved, and they can't say we weren't involved because you donated the money before the South County Coalition. You seeded it. You were the South County Coalition.
Right. Yeah. So it sounds like they're still making good on their threat to Lynn. They're still trying to get their boy in.
And to keep him in.
And to keep him in. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think this is going to be over, and I will tell you, I'll have two more stories up about this in the next couple days. Eric Gorham is going to be doing my show on Wednesday. I might be able to come in a little bit also. I don't know how long I'll be in court. the ongoing, but Eric Gorham is going to, there's going to be a lot more coming out about this case in the next couple days, and Eric Gorham will be discussing it on the show on Wednesday.
Oh, that sounds great.
I think you need to listen because this is getting way bigger. I'm going to have, again, two stories in the next couple days.
And read Cal Coast News.
Yes, you got to go to Cal Coast
News. Keep posted. Stay posted.
This is a pretty big issue that is coming out. I do want to talk, we don't have a lot of officer-involved shootings in this county anymore.
No.
We've had two this year now. You had, or maybe one of them, we had, maybe the other one was last year. You had the guy with the toy gun.
Oh, yeah.
In San Luis Obispo. He pulled a non-real gun on an officer and was shot in San Luis Obispo. A guy with some issues, some mental health issues. You pull a gun on someone and you're going to have an issue.
Yeah.
This other one was even a little worse. This guy also has mental health issues. This guy is someone, serious mental health issues, but he is a known killer.
Oh, wow.
And this one happened in Napomo on Sunday. And what happened with it was this man, he went over to his mother and grandmother, they lived together, went over to their apartment and was getting angry, and he had threatened to kill his mother, and his the police were called. They walked, our sheriff deputies, they walked toward the door. He ran back into the apartment and came back with a gun, aimed it, fired at deputies, did not hit a deputy, and they, I heard there was a lot of gunshots.
Wow.
But you have a man, but let me explain who this man is. This is a little bit, I think they should have been very concerned. We will explain a little bit more about this man when we come back for our last segment.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We moved from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect, and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finished work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
Sunny here from the Floral Parlor in downtown Paso Robles, across the street from the Boot Barn. My dad raised me to understand that capitalism creates freedom. Charity comes from churches and community, not government. Running a small business in California is tough, but I'm thankful for this wonderful community and appreciate your support of the Floral Parlor. Stop buying expired grocery store flowers and see the difference in design and longevity. Make someone's day. Send flowers with no delivery charge when you mention KPRL. Hope to see you soon at the Floral Parlor.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealy, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. I have Debbie Peterson on the show today. We're talking about a bunch of different stories. Right now we're talking about this man who the officer shot. And there was a lot of concern. People were like, why did they do this? Why were they so aggressive? Well, let me tell you, years ago, this man, back in 2013, he was mad at Joseph Padilla because Joseph Padilla was dating a woman he used to date. So he stabbed Joseph Padilla on the street in Oceano. Joseph died. He was And the man was mentally ill, and he had some serious problems, and they ended up making it manslaughter. They said he didn't mean to kill him. He said, I'll plead guilty to manslaughter. They agreed to do that. He went to jail, I think, for about, he was sentenced to 16 years. He spent 12. He hadn't been out very long. Mm-hmm. And now he's threatening to kill his mother. And then he comes at deputies with a gun. I can't imagine when you know this guy's already killed somebody and you're a deputy and he's shooting at you. I believe this was a very good shooting. What do you think?
Well, I think it's fair enough. And they have to defend themselves and they have to defend the public. So they're doing their jobs.
Yes, they are. And this was... And I know some people are concerned because they don't usually anymore just say what happened. I had the scanner on, and I knew they had a medical examiner, and the person was dead that night. And so I knew this was, I had a little bit more information than others, but I still was going to give it a little bit of time. I didn't realize that the guy had actually shot at deputies till the next morning.
Wow. I'm glad I'm not a deputy.
It would be quite the mess. What else do you think is important that's coming out in the county right now? There's a lot of, they're doing a number of things. There's a tax measure with SLOCOG. How do you feel about that?
The taxes just keep going up and up and up. Prices keep going up and up and up. And I know people cannot afford it. They've just been squeezed and squeezed and squeezed. It's time to start looking at how to save money and how to cut costs rather than continuing to go after the public who simply don't have anything left, most of them now.
And that's what the public does. So when you find things aren't, you know, they stop going to the coffee shop in the morning. They make changes to make their money go further.
Yeah.
But the cities often go, well, we'll increase fees, we'll increase this, we'll do this, without looking at what can we do to cut the cost.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I businesses do it too. And you have to cut costs and make more money, but you don't make more money by continuing to fleece your citizens. And so as much as it may be important, I think that somewhere it's got to stop, somewhere it's got to give. And I don't know how much success they'll have at winning any of these measures.
You know, one of the things I think they should do is stop the outside restaurant lunches. They should shop. As a reporter, and I haven't done this in probably 3 years, I have regularly gone after the receipts of the credit cards of public officials. I had one police chief lost his job after I found out he was paying for meals with his family at Disney. They were going to Disney.
Well,
Disney
River
World.
Beach has 75 employees. 25 of them have Citi credit cards. And
wow.
Their costs can be up to $400,000 a year, $75,000 a month on those credit cards. And a lot of it's coffee shops. And, well, we like it that they support local coffee shops. But if you're making $400,000 a year as a city manager, you might be able to buy your own coffee.
And this is the school districts, too. There's a lot of these people that are superintendents of schools and work for schools that are spending a ton of money on. I mean, they buy their coffee when they stop at a coffee shop. I would never think of putting it on a business card. That's not a business expense.
No, generally businesses don't pay for your meals. If you're at a conference, yes. But there are limits on that. When you're at a conference, there are expense limits.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask our guests today?
I'd just like to add, you know, again, I've commented on this before, that the city of San Luis Obispo has more employees per capita than any other in California, with the exception of Palm Springs. Palm Springs is because the census is done in the summer and their population doubles in the winter. So the number of employees doesn't reflect, you know, the actual average population. But wow. San Luis, therefore, is number one.
And that doesn't make sense. When you're having financial issues, why would you have that many employees. And why don't they have enough employees? One of the things they were complaining with some of the people in that neighborhood, we didn't have enough inspectors to inspect the projects. How can they have the most employees?
They have plenty of inspectors. The problem is, one, they're not qualified, and second, they're told not to do their job.
Oh, look the other way for certain developers.
Yeah, and you know the name we're talking about, and that's absolutely the case. I know who was the superintendent on that job, and I can tell you, he knows nothing, and their strategy is, we're going to throw crap out there, and we're going to see what the city catches.
Wow.
If they don't catch anything, great.
And you probably heard this already, but Joe Lackey, the attorney that's on the Jeannie Pleasant case, he has filed document after document. They were refusing to give discovery to the point where he was asking the judge, you've got to step in, you got to go after him. They got discovery, and the discovery shows the soils test came in, that there were real soil issues, and they ignored it, and the developer and the builder knew about it. Were you aware of that?
I was guessing that. It's happened on other developments in San Luis. They're using a system called post-tension slab, and a lot of developers think that you can ignore the soils report. But in the end, prior to you placing the concrete to the foundation, the soils engineer is supposed to sign off and approve. It's either a yes or a no. Go ahead and pour, or no, you're not clear.
And some of the new the neighbors out there are now saying their sink. Oh, I don't. This doesn't make sense to me. But they're saying their kitchens, specifically, are kitchens heavier. But they're saying their kitchens are starting to sink.
Yeah, and frequently the outside of the foundation will heave, like another development in San Luis, where the trusses got completely lifted off of the walls.
Oh, my.
And there are one-inch gaps. And the developer in that case said, oh, it's just a little drywall cracking. We'll come in and patch it.
So isn't one of the issues, I don't know about the one you're talking about, but one of the issues at San Luis Ranch is that they're built in wetlands. We know it's wetlands, and that's going to be the issue in Grover Beach as well. They're wetlands that they're building on. And isn't that one of the problems?
It can be done. It can be done, but you've got to do a huge over-excavation. You've got to take out and bring in a lot of material. You've got to lay down a product called geotextile cloth. It can be done. It's just really expensive.
And it's
and if you don't want to spend the money, you just go ahead and build.
And it's scary.
If you've got a city that looks the other way.
Scary because the water tables are so high. I know in Grover Beach, a couple of the places, they're at 7 feet, 8 feet, 10 feet down. You get to the water. So over-excavating is, that's got to be a challenge too.
Yeah, and you have to have drainage away from the structures. There's a lot of things involved, and that's why developers will jump on properties that other people would pass on, just saying, that's going to be too expensive to develop, if I do it right.
Thank you for that. That's all really helpful information.
Thank you very much for calling in. And Debbie, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show today. And again, give us the name of your book and tell us how to find your podcast.
Happiest Corruption, Sleaze, Lies, and Suicide in a California Beach Town, City Council 101. And the podcast is Corruption Chronicles. If you want to join the group of folks who talk about these things and try to fix them, that is mayordebbie.com. And that's local impact. You can make a difference.
And I will tell you, I think it's very important for people. I know people are fed up with a lot of things going on, but think about running for office. Think about trying to get involved. It's service. It is not a job. And they need more and more people from the community that want to serve.
Amen.
And thank you for coming on. And I will be back next week. We'll be right back.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.